When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money. One man, one desire, one challenge, dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, I have a great show for you today. We've got a couple of young men from an area that I really like, and in Indianapolis area. And let me tell you a little bit about these guys here. First off, we have Jacob Blackett, and he is the CEO of Holdfolio. He originally grew up in Reno, Nevada, began his real estate career at a young age in 2010 as a sophomore at the University of Nevada in Reno. When most of his contemporaries were immersed in college life, Jacob bought and sold his first two residential fix and flip properties in, of all places, Southern California, where I'm calling from right now. Okay, that's kind of interesting. Usually, us Southern California guys go and invest in other places like Nevada. But anyway, so let me go on here. Once he made the move to Indianapolis, Indiana in 2012, Jacob fell under the tutelage of Aaron Adams. And over the course of their three-year partnership, he placed over $40 million into single-family rental properties. In October of 2015, Jacob set out with his trusted partner, Sterling White, to found Holdfolio. Holdfolio was founded on the basis of creating partnerships to profit from real estate. Jacob created a low-risk, high-profit model that allows Holdfolio's clients to invest in pools of properties already owned by Holdfolio. At Holdfolio, Jacob primarily focuses on property acquisitions, financial planning, and business development. Outside of his business, Jacob enjoys staying active, volunteering as a big brother, and education as a hobby. The book that set him on his entrepreneurial course is entitled Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. And then we also have Sterling White, his partner there at Holdfolio. He's an Indianapolis native, and Sterling has had an entrepreneurial mindset from a very young age. He has taken his natural energy and skill, which began simply by selling homemade packets of drinking Drink flavoring. Okay, this is really got me. I'll have to ask you about that. You know, he's basically handing out Kool-Aid and selling it to kids that don't know any better. No. okay, just kidding. And he's moved on to co-founding this ever-expanding real estate company they have called Holdfolio. Much of the insight and trade knowledge he now possesses, Sterling owes to his mentor, Will Bates. The two formed a mastermind alliance, and Bates imparted lessons from his years of managing well over 500 units in historic apartment complexes. At Holdfolio, Sterling focuses his time on building strong investor relations with clients, property acquisitions, and creating strategic and directed marketing campaigns to grow their brand. Sterling is hands-on about creating value for his investors, and he truly believes in the role that he and his company play in establishing a path to financial freedom for those under his watch. In his spare time, Sterling enjoys learning any way he can. One of his biggest professional influences is Tony Robbins, and his book, Awaken the Giant Within, is a cornerstone of his personal philosophy. In the spirit of giving back and community, Sterling is also participating in the Guinness World Book of Records, okay, for fastest fireman carry, where the proceeds are being donated to the Little Red Door Cancer Agency. Sterling also serves as a big brother as well in Indianapolis. Whew, okay, there's a for some young guys, you've got some long bios here, but welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Welcome for the heat, the network.
Yeah. Well, you guys know I love Indianapolis. I'm always looking for properties there, and I've already got a couple out there, and I think it's a great place to be based out of. But I understand that you guys buy in other areas as well. And you guys didn't really talk about how you met in your bios. So I don't know who'd want to tackle that. But how did you guys happen to get together to do this crazy venture?
Yeah, I actually attended. I was furthering my knowledge on real estate and attended a seminar in which Jacob's previous partner, his mentor, was up on stage and giving a overview on all elements real estate. And he brought Jacob on stage to tell his story. And I was sitting in the crowd. And I thought, wow, this Jacob guy complements all the weaknesses that I have. And that would just be, I don't see any reason why me and this guy would crush it. So when Jacob actually went to go to the restroom, I actually followed him in there and said, hey, how about we link up and start working together? And he said, yeah, here's my number. And I don't know if he took me seriously at that time, now that I think back on it. And I actually was in the office the next day where he was working, and then the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day. And then from there, we started doing deals, and we hit the ground running.
Wow, that's wild. That's definitely proactive on your part. I don't know. I might have been a little scared if some guy followed me into the restroom, but
yeah, it was certainly interesting. Though I like Sterling mentioned, we held these meetups, and so I'd speak at a portion of that meetup, and so I'd meet a lot of people, both local and people traveling from distance to Indianapolis, and exchange a lot of numbers. Like Sterling mentioned, we kind of hit it off initially, and Sterling kind of came into the office, and before long we were doing deals together, and so the rest is history.
God, that's great. That's great. Funny because I just had a recent show here that we talked about the importance of strong partnerships, two folks that can really gel together. And I talked about this book called Rocket Fuel. I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but just a real good book. It talks about some of the more famous partnerships out there, like to Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. You get the right mix there, and you can do so much more than you could by yourself. That's great that you guys have got that synergy and are able to really move forward like that.
Yeah. And to summarize that, I'm more kind of financially oriented, detail oriented, operations. Sterling is an individual who is going to go out there and do what others aren't really willing to do, and so it's really a perfect combination of skill sets.
Jacob cleans up my messes. Yeah, right.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do as partners, you know? That's part of the fun. Well, that's great. Well, you guys are pretty young. I mean, you've got what, your late 20s maybe?
Yeah.
26?
Yeah, 26. Yeah.
27.
Yeah, okay. So you're pretty close in age too, which is kind of maybe coincidental. I don't know. But, you know, that you're both starting out young. So you've got a long, productive and lucrative career ahead of you here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, did you initially start off sort of in the same way that you are? It looks like you were doing a lot more single family homes when you first started out. Is that true?
Yeah, we got our start with single family homes, and so that's where we built a lot of our traction and momentum. And then most recently this year is where we've kind of included more into our focus the multifamily investments. And so we've taken down a couple apartment deals this year and definitely have an appetite to keep that going as we continue to compete with everyone else in this environment. So doing our best.
Now, were you flipping initially or were you buying and hold? I mean, fixing them up and then just, you know, renting them out?
So personally, I got my start in the Midwest. So as you mentioned, I'm from Reno, Nevada, West Coast, did a couple fix and flips down in Southern California. And that's definitely an entirely different environment than Indianapolis, especially. And so when I was moving to Indianapolis, I was trying to figure out what is this $30,000, $40,000 home? You know, I had no idea that existed coming from the West Coast. And I was pleasantly surprised that they exist and that there's very cute neighborhoods. And so I kind of started off in that realm of purchasing and selling directly those properties. I think the first house I purchased in Indianapolis, I purchased for $11,000 and I sold it for $18,000 a few days later. And so it was kind of a rinse and repeat type cycle, and hundreds of properties later is kind of when Sterling and I got together, and Sterling and I own over 100 single family homes together that we hold in cash flow, and we've bought almost 100 apartment units this year over two deals.
Wow, that's awesome. That's great. So you're trying to build up your obviously your holdings, right? Because you're a very investor oriented organization with Holdfolio, right?
Yeah, like you mentioned, we're young. We're young guys. We have a long journey ahead of us, and we like the buy and hold model. So we focus on getting good deals and seeing how we can hold on to them.
Interesting. I think your marketing approach, that was one of the things that really caught my eye, because you look like a crowdfunding site, you know, you know, this is, and crowdfunding in terms of what I'm referring to are, you know, these main platforms where multiple investors will list their properties there and people can mm-hmm. come and invest and so forth. But your site is just your properties, right?
Yeah, we built that platform to facilitate our own deals. So people who work with us, they know who the operator is. We only bring our own deals. We're operators by nature. We're not money guys. We're not financial guys. We're real estate investors, and so we did build that that technology aspect just to facilitate partnerships at a larger scale.
Now, are these syndications or all of the properties syndicated, or how exactly are people technically investing?
Yep, they're typical syndications regulation D, typically 506C or 506B is kind of the more specific details on that. But yeah, we go ahead and file a Form D with the Securities and Exchange Commission, and we have our legal team and we act as sponsors on the partnerships that we bring to the table.
So establishing that, I mean, so early on, to, you know, especially put together something that I imagine has a lot of financial regulations, because of course you're under the SEC in that situation. So I would imagine your legal team is really critical for you.
Yeah, it took many months, many calls with different attorneys, kind of hit my head many times, and finally found a legal counsel that we've worked with really from day one. We've grown out that entire aspect of our model with this legal counsel. And I wouldn't be afraid to share, his name is Mark Roderick, and he actually has a crowdfunding attorney blog that, you know, any of your listeners interested in getting some good information. He tends to take a very complicated and thorough process and simplify it. And he focuses on telling you how you can do what you're looking to do, instead of kind of convoluting things and making things more difficult than they need to be.
That's great. And he's in Indy also?
He is out of New Jersey.
Oh, out of New Jersey. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Neat. Well, you started off fairly early, Jacob, in, it looks like in real estate. I mean, it sounds like that was like one of the first things you did. What sparked you at such a young age, you know, to get involved in fix and flipping?
Well, it was pretty simple. Late one night, I was up, kind of had the TV on and saw an infomercial.
That's like a lot of people, right?
right. So I saw an infomercial. I was studying finance. That'd be my freshman year in college. I saw the infomercial, kind of picked around the catalog, didn't really see any real estate related offerings by the university. And so decided to go to a free seminar, pick up some books, went to a paid seminar, and kind of just got fully immersed from that process.
And the focus initially was fix and flipping, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was so simple, actually, because I actually worked while I was going to college full time. And so I worked at a Walmart distribution center that I worked on Saturdays, Sunday, and Mondays, 11 to 12 hour shifts. And I was actually earning around $20 an hour. And so that was good. It was paying for my tuition and boarding and stuff. And one thing that happened through that experience is that working in that type of environment, you clock in, you clock out, all of your time is regulated and tracked. You just feel owned and controlled. And you're told when you can't take time off and when you can take time off. And that really built up within me as something that I never want to deal with for the rest of my life. And so with real estate, I saw an opportunity to maybe do a couple profitable fix and flips. And if I could do a couple profitable fix and flips and not be controlled by another entity, then that was my win. And so that's how simple it was that motivated me to do my first few deals.
Wow. And well, the one that really has me perplexed is here you are going to school in Nevada. You're a sophomore, and then you do a fix and flip in Southern California. I mean, how do you do that? How do you do that while you're going to school in Reno?
So yeah, that drive is about eight, nine hours. And what happened is that the seminar I got involved with, they had all of their systems, realtors, contractors, all in place and down in that Southern California inland empire type market. So that's how I kind of networked right in with those connections and ended up doing a couple deals down there.
Was that with Aaron Adams?
I actually did meet Aaron through that process. He was teaching on actually knowing rehab costs. And so I kind of kept that contact, and all the stars aligned, because I ended up meeting my now wife, who was going to Purdue University. And that's really what really made me move from Reno, Nevada to Indianapolis was to be closer to her. And so I had that one individual that I had crossed paths with previously through education, and ended up getting fully immersed in his operation.
I see. So the Southern California flips, there was a team in place. All you had to do is just put in the money. Is that right? And to make that work?
Right. That was the idea, that they had the contractors set you up with the realtor, go make offers, plug in the formula, get with the contractors, list it, sell it, make money. It didn't quite work out that way. I ended up losing around $70,000 on those first two fix and flip projects.
Ouch.
And and how I can summarize that is that I had leveraged with some hard money lenders. And so I was paying some significant interest every month, and the projects took much longer than anticipated because the contractors did not fulfill their agreement, which I'm sure you know, Bill, as an experienced investor yourself, that this happens. It's part of the game. Mm-hmm. So contractors didn't fulfill their bargain. Project took much longer, and the realtor oversold us on what we could sell it for after the rehab. So
ouch.
So we took haircuts on kind of all these different aspects of these properties. And so I came out of those quite a bit in the hole. I had actually borrowed that money from my grandma. And so that was my sophomore year of college when all of that occurred. And so I kind of put my head down, really, really evaluated those deals and took my best lessons from those deals, and actually maxed out my student loans my final year of college so that I'd have my own money to work with. And that's when I moved to Indianapolis and did my first deal that I mentioned earlier, that 11,000 purchase and 18,000 what I sold it for. And I ended up making all that money back for my grandma within 12 months, and just moved on from there. Never, thankfully, lost out on a deal since those first two.
That's great. Well, I was going to ask the biggest mistake question, and I would assume that would probably fall in that category, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Would you say, Sterling, would you say that that'd be kind of your, I don't know if you actually probably weren't involved at that point, right?
No, I was not involved at that point. I would say my biggest mistake myself is not thinking big initially. I wasn't necessarily content, but my goals were not as big as they were now.
Gotcha. That could be something to hold people back, to really think that you can't go that next mile, and feeling, well, maybe I should take little baby steps. You don't always have to do that. It really just depends on a lot of factors, but you want to be educated and you want to make smart decisions. But a lot of times we hold ourselves back. So I completely understand that one. What would you say, conversely, guys, sort of the biggest success?
I would say for me personally, one of my biggest successes was the mentor that I was able to partner with, taking the route of creating as much value for that individual, and in return that he provided me over 20 years of extensive experience in real estate and compacted it into 2 to 3 years of me working with him. And the value that I brought in that exchange was I worked for him for free. So that's one thing I would offer as a tidbit to your audience as well, is if you're looking to get into the industry, go out there and work with someone who is already accomplishing what you would like to accomplish. Everyone has a need out there. So just have to figure out how to position yourself to fulfill it.
Well, it sounds like, you don't lack any guts in that regard, you know. I mean, yeah. I mean, following Jacob into the bathroom and, seriously, this is like, that's an important part of what we do, right? being able to make those connections. And mentor is critical, I think, to anybody's success and getting a good mentor. And we've had broadcasts on this before, and we talk about the idea of going in there and volunteering your services for free just for the opportunity to learn some of the skills that they have. So that's great. That's good stuff. And how about you, Jacob, on biggest success?
I think a pivotal moment was being able to rebound from those first couple losses and put my head down and get a profitable deal and repeat. I think just to share kind of a neat project from a buy and hold perspective. We Sterling and I did quite a few fix and flips in an up and coming neighborhood, kind of a gentrifying neighborhood in Indianapolis called Fountain Square.
Oh yeah, sure.
So we did probably a couple dozen flips down in that neighborhood, and one of those flips, this was very early into the gentrification of that neighborhood, so it wasn't quite on fire yet. And so I had purchased the property for $30,000, and my plan was to rehab it for $60,000 and sell it for $130,000. And so this was right about 2013 going into 2014. And I ended up deciding to go ahead and keep that property. I spent a little bit more on the rehab. I ended up spending about $80,000. And I got a refinance for $110,000. So I was able to pull my cash back out of that property. And when I purchased that home, the fair market rent was probably around $800 to best case $900 per month. And today I still own that home. It rents for $1,600 per month. And it's probably could easily sell for around $220,000. And the mortgage is about $600 per month. So that was a pretty great buy and hold story.
Oh, that's great. I love to hear those stories, especially in Indianapolis. You know, that's cool. Our audience, you know, we kind of allowed you guys to be guests here. I mean, you're not really 50 plus, you know, so let's just clarify that right now.
Combined in age.
Yeah, maybe combined. And that's kind of how we allowed it. You know, there are certain, clauses in our, qualifications here that, if you add two guys together, you make 50. Okay. So, but there's a lot of folks listening and they're not in two dissimilar positions. You know, they're looking to start something new mostly. And some may already be investors. Some could be strictly passive investors. Some may want to get, very active in real estate investing. What kind of advice would you have? Now, we have a little different scenario in that, we don't have the same timeline you do. I mean, you guys can do this for the next, 50 years, but, we're working on kind of a shorter timeline here. And so we're looking at, trying to do things fairly, ramping them up fairly quick so we can enjoy our retirement years, and not have to, flipping doesn't make sense. For at least for me, it doesn't. It's just too much full-time work. I've already been there, done that, and I'm really looking for something passive. And so what kind of advice would you have for, folks, and our people all over the world that are listening to this, but that might be in that situation. They're approaching retirement and they're kind of gearing up for it, concerned that they might not have the funds that they need, or they're in it and they're kind of saying, "Wow, is this going to last? What am I going to do? Maybe I should try and generate some additional cash somehow." So, what kind of advice would you guys have?
You want to tackle that one, Jacob?
Yeah, my initial input is that. For someone who's looking to take on a new endeavor, whether that's buying their first rental property or buying their first apartment or doing their first fix and flip, whatever that is, I think that there's a lot of value and power in being able to learn through a partnership. And so there are successful people out there doing what it is that you think you want to do. And so you have to be able to start the conversations, get to know these people, understand how they're succeeding. And if there's an opportunity, which most likely there is, to partner with them, that's going to go so far to be able to be able to leverage their expertise and be able to learn yourself directly from someone who is succeeding. That's probably my biggest advice. And then once you have that experience, then you can start looking at other opportunities with a sharper eye and be able to take on opportunities yourself. But setting that foundation through partnerships, I think, is a big key.
Great, great advice.
I agree.
All right. How about the second opinion here, Sterling? Let's say your grandparents or parents, if you know they might not be at retirement age yet, but if they were to ask you, you know, how can we get involved in this real estate stuff? You know, do you like that little accent?
Just like that. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, what would you say?
Yeah, I'm right along the same sentiment as Jacob, is partnering with someone who has the track record and has the experience. So that way you mitigate your risks, because since you're investing for the retirement, you want something that's a little more, if you're in real estate, which is good investing wise, but you want to still earn those high yields with minimizing your downside in terms of risk.
Right. Now, did you guys, I mean, you know, you are fairly young, getting started, started off with single family homes. Now you've started to expand into the multifamily arena. Are you finding any kind of resistance either from, I don't know if you've got banking relationships with your syndications or not, but where you, you know, they'll be looking at, well, how much experience do you have in multifamily? Did you encounter any kind of issues there?
Yeah, I think what we did to one approach we took on our very first apartment was convincing the seller to carry back a large portion of that purchase. And so we were able to get the seller to carry back around 75% to 80% of the total purchase. And so we did not have to convince a financial institution to work with us on that apartment. And so So that apartment went straight to our balance sheet and straight to our experience and track record. And the second apartment that we purchased, we had approval, and it was about a week before closing. The bank did decide to back out, but it wasn't due to our experience. So I think that's how we hedged that up front, was being able to structure a deal that didn't involve a bank to put that experience on our track record, and going forward, really, it's going to be showing through performance of the apartments that we own. And Sterling manages and can probably talk on a credibility book. Sterling, do you want to mention that?
Yeah, and that really helps with when you're networking with brokers in addition to sellers, is putting together a very professional PDF presentation that showcases you've purchased, you have this amount of holdings under management, a little bit more about yourself as an individual, and just giving a whole synopsis of who, how, who, what, just to paint a picture for both the seller or broker or even institution.
That's great. And that's one thing, you know, our listeners that aren't doing multifamily now need to be aware of, is that, you know, the investors, both on the banking side as well as, you know, individual investors, they're looking at performance as a business. I mean, they're looking at that multifamily property as a business, as opposed to maybe a single family home, you know, where they're going to look at market comps and things of that nature. Here, they're looking at what's your return on investment, and what kind of cash flow does it have, and what kind of upside is it, and what's your, you know, your exit strategy, and, you know, things related to business. And so that credibility book is invaluable to be able to share that with bankers, to share it with investors, attorneys, whoever may be involved in the process. So that's a real good point.
What is ahead for you guys? Right now, you have now exactly how many properties, how many of those are multifamily?
I'd say right now we're a little bit over 200 units, or right at 200, in which half of that is the single family and the other remaining is multifamily.
And now, are you a lot in that downtown area, the, you know, the Fountain Square, Bates Hendricks area, whatever, in that area with a lot of your single family, or are you kind of all over?
Yeah, we still like to target the urban cores, so very close to downtown, very close commutes. But in terms of Fountain Square and Bates Hendricks, those prices are just outrageous what people are paying for. So right now we've had to shift to other neighborhoods that make sense for the numbers.
Where do you want to see this company go?
You want to touch on that one, Jacob? He's a visionary. He's got it.
Yeah, I think I mentioned earlier that Sterling and I are young guys, and both Sterling and I have ambitions and sights to own thousands of units. I think that we started with single family homes, and we have a focus on income producing assets. And our goal is to keep working up that ladder and continue to take advantage of the opportunities in the market. So we're building that multifamily asset under ownership, and we'll have probably intentions and future expectations to probably do some developments as well.
That's great. And you're so well located there. In Indianapolis is just in the center of, you know, the heartland where, I mean, I think all the best deals are in everywhere from, you know, Ohio, and you've got Kentucky, Tennessee, even, you know, a little bit further over Atlanta, Texas down below, and Oklahoma. I mean, all those areas right now are just, I think, are just great investment areas. And that's a nice place to be located to do with that kind of a growth plan ahead.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. Well, time's zipping by here. I could really talk to you guys for a while, and I could just do a whole show Indianapolis. I'd love to just, like, you know, get your thoughts all about that. But maybe we'll have to schedule that for another time. But we're at the point where we have our wrap it up session. And just for those of you that are listening that never really shared this with, there's a little, you know, it's like a little rap thing that you're going to hear, you know, when we start the wrap it up. I mean, that's actually my son, Kenson, he's actually doing the rap in there. So just so you guys know, okay, it's really a cool rap, and he's actually really good at rapping. He's a great kid. So, you know, not that really matters to anybody except for me, but, you know, I just thought I'd share that with you guys. Where this is our wrap it up, where I ask you a series of quick questions, and you guys respond as quick as you can. I know with two guys, it's going to be really interesting. So, but we've done this before, and it works, you know, without being too much of a train wreck. So if you guys are ready, are you ready to wrap it up?
Yes, sir.
Let's roll.
All right, here we go. Favorite real estate book?
I am a fan of Dean Graziosi. Many books out there by him.
I would say go As a Man Thinketh, because I'm all about mindset. It's not real estate focused, but real estate is 90% mindset, 10% mechanic.
I love it. How about favorite business book?
I am a fan of Napoleon Hill and T. Harv Eker. And 4-Hour Work Week is another great one.
Great.
And there's so many great ones.
Yeah. And there's 11 Rings by Phil Jackson.
Oh, cool. How about most valuable website for success other than your own, which is pretty incredible. But anyway, what website is real invaluable for you for what you guys do?
It's a rarely known one, Google.com.
What was that again? Google?
G-O-O-G-L-E.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yes, sir.
YouTube. You can learn just about anything.
You got that right. You got that right. How about favorite app?
I'm a fan for Inbox by Google.
I was going to use that one, so I'll say Google Drive.
All right. It's kind of like the same thing. Huh? All right, yeah. Cool. Okay, how about favorite quotes here?
This comes into mindset a little bit. It is that we cannot choose our external circumstances, but we can always choose how we respond to them.
Good one. Do you know who that's by?
That's Stoicism?
No, I heard it. I made a note of that in the car. I was listening to a podcast. I have no idea who I heard that from.
That's okay. You don't have to have the person. It's okay. We're looking for the quote.
Mine is "Do the thing and you shall have the power" by Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Oh man, one of my favorites. That's great. All right, now here's the big one here. This is the apocalyptic question here. So let's say you guys have built up this real estate empire here. Everything you've done, you know, even including your personal finances, you just lose everything. And you have to start from scratch, and all you have is $1,000 in cash. How would you use that $1,000 to rebuild your real estate enterprise?
I would get an equity partner and go chase apartments from day one.
Great. Sterling?
Same thing.
Ditto. All right. Well, great. You guys did good on that. That was actually faster, a faster wrap up than we normally would have. But, you know, that's
because
you guys have the energy. So you guys definitely did a great job. You know, I know a lot of people are going to want to know more about you and about Holdfolio. That's kind of hard to say, but Holdfolio. Okay. So what's the best way for folks to reach you guys?
You can visit our website, holdfolio.com. That's HOLDFOLIO.
Great. And tell us what people see when they get to that website.
Well, they're going to see a homepage with general information about what's going on. If they click on the About Us tab, they're going to find some more information about Sterling and myself and the company. Our direct contact info, phone numbers, emails will be right there on that page. So feel free to reach on out to us.
And if they sign up and maybe invest in your properties, what will they see then?
So it's a pretty simple process. We just require a quick phone call to get to know everyone. And then we will go ahead after that phone call, open up the doors so that you can see if there's any current investments available.
And do you only take accredited investors?
We work with both non-accredited and accredited investors.
Oh, cool. Well, great. Well, we are not completely done. There is one tradition we have on this show that all of our guests have to comply with, and that is we're called the Old Dogs REI Network, and emphasizing the word dogs here, so or should I say dog. but anyway, so and we have our guests close us off with a closing howl. Okay, so you know, I know you guys are in different parts of the the Midwest here, but you know, I think if you guys just like get your howls together here, you know, you could just probably have. And let me let you know right up front here, this isn't just just something we do. Okay, we actually go over all of our guest howls, okay, once a year, and we give out the Golden Howl Award. Okay, so so I'm just letting you guys know because I know how competitive you guys are, and you know, so I
this
thought
this is real. I'm gonna drink some water.
Well, I don't want to put any pressure on you here.
I have to disclose, Bill, that I am a graduate of the University of Nevada, Reno, where we are the Wolfpack. So I've got a good howl for you.
Oh, okay. That definitely is going to give you an edge. It's going to give you an edge.
I was a greyhound, former greyhound, if that works.
Oh, there we go. Okay, we got a greyhound and a wolf. That is going to make for one incredible howl. Okay. So when you guys are ready, we'll just go ahead and just howl to your heart's content.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Howl!
It's still going. It's still going. Wow. Now that is going to be tough to beat. I can tell you right now, the producer of the show, he gets involved in that process really heavy, and he's gonna set that one aside. I can tell you right
now.
Excellent. All right. Well, guys, it's been fantastic having you on, and I may really follow up with you guys on doing maybe a special indie show. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it would be fun.
Just talk about what's going on in that great state. So, Well, thanks for joining us and sharing some of your knowledge with our listeners. Also, I want to thank all our old dog listeners out there, too, for joining us. And we know there's a lot of the things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we really appreciate it. So anything we've talked about, some of these great books and resources that the guys have mentioned, as well as a link to their website, will be in our show notes, and that can be accessed through our website, olddogsreinetwork.com, of course, dog spelled D-A-W-G, /blog. So if you go to olddogsreinetwork.com/blog, you'll find show notes. So why don't we say /show notes? I don't know. But anyway, that's the way it's lined up. You'll find the show notes in the blog. So go there, look for the show from Holdfolio, both Sterling White and Jacob Blackett. You'll be able to hear their whole podcast there and also access the notes and the links. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward. And may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.